Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Good to see you once again.
Likewise.
And getting into the same subject we actually been talking about for a couple of weeks now, leaving a legacy that matters.
Yes.
And spiritual legacy versus financial legacy. Can they both be possible?
Right. Can they coincide with each other?
Yeah. Can they coexist? And you say yes.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think that the Word of God actually mandates that they both coexist instead of one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we want to be focused as believers on our spiritual legacy, right?
Right.
I mean, that's obviously a paramount issue. How do we leave spiritual legacy? But not to such a degree that we neglect how do we manage and how do we leave a financial legacy? And we also don't want to get caught just on the, I'm just going to build my own kingdom and leave a financial legacy. These need to coexist. They need to work together. As a matter of fact, I believe that they can work together and that we are actually mandated to have them work together. So overemphasizing one and to the full neglect of the other, I think is imbalanced and unhealthy, and there can be a nice middle ground when we talk about this issue of legacy and not being one-track-minded, but let's have a good, solid footing on the Word of God and build a plan from that perspective, which includes spiritual legacy and financial legacy all combined. And so, and we talked last week about the starting of the process. So where do we start things? And we barely touched on the issue of starting to gain wisdom. Now, in my practice, we have an estate planning life cycle. And of course, it's very difficult to see that over the radio. But the very first step in all of that is that we need to get wisdom. We have to be properly educated. We have to be able to get right, proper information. And from there, we can actually have the right and proper perspective on how to balance both of these issues. And of course, through many different conversations, Mark, you and I have talked about that the very first part of gaining wisdom is seeking after God himself. In other words, what is his plan for your life? What is his plan for your finances? And what is his heartbeat? What is his vision for your family? So if we don't have the proper foundation, if we don't build it off of that premise and that starting block, I think that we can enter into being imbalanced, where we're only focused on the spiritual to neglect of the worldly things that we have been cared, that we're in charge of, that we are charged to manage, right? We call it stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
And the definition of stewardship is an administrative giver. And so it's not an administrative hoarder.
Right.
It's an administrative giver.
Right.
And so with wisdom, and let's just review a little bit of how we gain wisdom. So number one is that wisdom can't just come from ourselves. A proverb says that in the multitude of counsel is wisdom. So what that tells me is that it takes ideas outside of myself in order for me to gain wisdom.
Mm.
If I'm just the one who is caught in my own mindset, if I'm the one who is only doing the research, then there is a high probability that I don't have a strong, good balance of other voices that will lead me to safety. So we know that God uses the body of Christ as a holistic measure to keep us safe.
Mm.
I'm not called to be an island unto myself. I'm called to be a part of the body. And 1 Corinthians clearly demonstrates what that body looks like, right? Where Paul talks about can all be an eye, can all be a foot. If one or the other is not operating, then the body itself cannot operate well. And so we need to ensure that we are gaining wisdom from those around us, because that is truly God's safety net for us, is the wisdom of other people instead of just my wisdom. As a matter of fact, what I see is a lot of people like to now, specifically nowadays, when Google is at our fingertips, we love to research on our own.
Right.
And I think all of us also understand that there is potentially a trap within that self-research. So we need to gain wisdom. We need to gain wisdom of what is God's plan for our family. The first step would be for a believer to pray and seek after the heart of God. But if you're not married, then we need to seek wisdom outside of ourselves to ensure that we are on target and moving in a biblical manner. If we're married, then it has to start in the house between the spouses. Are you in unity with the vision of what you have in the family? But even then, after you find unity together, then it is wise. It is wisdom that in the multitude of counsel that you bring in other people to find that ultimate wisdom. So we're never intended to be just on ourselves or just to have our own wisdom, rely upon ourselves. We're to rely upon our close relationships. And so wisdom starts by seeking outside counsel. Now, that could be in a legal perspective that you connect with my law firm, right? Because I have a unique skill set. I've studied estate planning. It is what I do. And so from a legal perspective, I may have some wisdom to share with you based upon what your family looks like, based upon the representation of what your goals are, based upon what God has told you to do with your finances once you leave this earth. And so getting legal wisdom may be a part of that strategy, but it's not the only part of the strategy, because again, if we neglect the spiritual component for only the earthly advice, then we're imbalanced as well. So we need to be seeking after the heart of the Father, and we need to be seeking after good, strong legal counsel. And between the two of them, I believe that there is a good opportunity to set up a strong, long-term vision of what God has told somebody to follow after. So everything starts with wisdom, where we are required to seek after her. Is what Proverbs says. And so we need to have those first steps of engage and to create. Proverbs 4, 6 and 7 says, "Do not forsake wisdom, for she will protect you." Verse 7 continues that the beginning of wisdom is this: go get wisdom. So if you are not hungry, if you're not seeking after proper wisdom, then how can you ever get it?
Where do you think it fits in? It also says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes.
How does that, that's kind of an ominous sounding term. But
well, I think even this Proverbs 4 that I just read, I think that they work collectively together. Mm. So go get wisdom. Well, it doesn't say where, but it does say, though it costs you all that you have, get understanding. So in other words, yes. Is there a sacrifice in seeking after the Lord? Look, seeking after his heartbeat takes a focus for us to set aside our time and our energy to go after the heartbeat of God, to seek after him and him alone. But then it also takes time and energy to set aside to go get the proper wisdom in a legal sense, to go get this understanding. So understanding builds to wisdom. And yes, we need to seek after it, but what is it? It is now a person. That is Jesus Christ himself. So as believers, he embodies all wisdom. And so because he lives within us, we have the ability to seek after the one who is wisdom. Wisdom is not a thing. Wisdom is a person. Mm. It is Jesus Christ himself. He paid the full and absolute sacrifice so that we could have a relationship with God the Father, by that giving us the mediator into heaven's throne, that we can receive exactly what you're talking about, which is the beginning of wisdom is to seek after him. We need to seek after him first. Absolutely. Then he has designed the body of Christ that we ensure and get confirmation, and he's given us wisdom in an earthly realm that we should not simply discount nor ignore. It takes all of them working together to truly lead a strong legacy that is biblically based and that will produce long-term results. So here's what one last thing about wisdom here is that I've made mention many times that it is my belief of what I see in the Word of God that when you die, your legacy is not to end. It is actually just beginning. So we don't create vision just for our lifetime. Vision is to extend beyond ourselves. It is to extend beyond our ability. And so it should extend generationally. And there is no way to accomplish a generational plan, a generational vision for what God has given you, for your family, for ministry, or for anything else that God touches your heart and excites you about building his kingdom. That should be a generational plan, and we can do that. So just because it's our time to leave this earth does not mean that it's our time that our vision ends or that legacy ends. It actually is just another step in actually fulfilling long-term biblical godly vision. So the heart of man devises a plan, but the Lord orders the footsteps therein. So God will give you a plan of attack. He will, by seeking after him, and you're referring to Proverbs 1:7, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction is what that carries on to say. Let's not be foolish. Let's make sure that we have a solid biblical foundation for legacy. And it includes the spiritual component, and it includes the wisdom of this earth component. How can we set that up? Because without a strong legal boundary, then our vision may not come to pass. So we need both. We need to operate in both realms, and wisdom is the beginning of it.
Okay, and that brings us to a break here. You're hearing some of the wisdom of Paul Grant this week on the Legacy and Faith Show. And if you're intrigued by his approach to financial issues and you would like some help maybe with some estate planning, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. Past podcasts are there, as well as the ability to get connected with us by email. And also, upcoming educational sessions are also on the website. We're beginning to have them in person and online simultaneously. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland this week on the Legacy and Faith Show, looking at a legacy that matters, how to build that, some of the different categories we can fall into, too much emphasis on spiritual legacy only, too much emphasis on the financial legacy only. And you want to talk a little bit about someone in the Bible called the Rich Fool.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
The Rich Fool. What's the Rich Fool?
Yeah, that's a good warning for us all, isn't it? Because, again, the heart of the matter is that we want to have a strong balance in these issues between our spiritual legacy and our financial legacy. If we overemphasize one, I think that it's imbalanced. We're called to have a strong, balanced approach, which starts with seeking after your Heavenly Father and getting His plan. And so the rich fool found in Luke 12 is kind of our warning of what happens if we emphasize just the financial component in our estate planning. And so, as a matter of fact, people may be very familiar with this parable, but I'm going to go ahead and take just a quick moment and read it for us. Starting in verse 15, Jesus said that take heed and beware of covetousness. So, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. And he spoke to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth a lot. So, the ground produced exactly what it was supposed to do. And he thought to himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to put all of my overflow. And he said, this is what I'll do. I will pull down my barns and build bigger barns, and there I will store all of my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have much laid up, and it is good, and it will last for many years. Take rest, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall those things be which you have provided? So Jesus ends by saying, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So I think sometimes we want to read a parable like this and say riches are bad. Having something is not God's scheme. Having too much will lead our hearts down here. Actually, no. What is in our hearts is brought out by our circumstances. So if we have a heart that covets after things, then that will be brought out by finances, by money, by overemphasizing or overfocusing on that. Money itself is simply a tool. It's not evil in and of itself. It's simply a tool to be utilized for building God's kingdom. So finances in and of themselves are not what is wrong in this storyline, but it's the heart of the issue. And so what really surprised me when I started looking and really focusing on what this parable was about was the extraordinary emphasis on self within this. So in other words, there's no vision to God's kingdom. There's no vision to help the poor. There's no vision to help those outside of the family. Rather, in this parable, everything is I-focused. And so let me just very quickly that the rich man, he thought to himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room for my fruits. Then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater ones, and I will put everything into there. And so the story line goes on, and really the thing that that struck me was in verse 20. We're in Luke 12. In 20, when God said, you're fool, tonight your soul is required of you, so who will now get everything that you have, which you provided for yourself. So it wasn't that God provided this. It's that he provided it for himself. In other words, the mentality of the rich fool was very self-centered or very family-centered. So we could take out I, and the word I could also be synonymous with saying, it's just me and it's just my family. I'm only going to care for the ones with that are within my tiny circle. I believe that that is a reasonable, when we're talking about estate planning specifically, I believe that that's a reasonable viewpoint of this parable, is that if we are only concerned with leaving things towards our family, taking care of our own, I think we're falling close to what this parable is trying to set up, which is don't allow the things of this earth to capture your heart. If other things capture your heart, then your money will naturally flow to those things that are captured by it, which is why we're to lay up everything to heaven. So therefore, rust nor moth can grab at it, right? Mm. And so our focus is to be, our heart is to be driven towards the things that touch God's heart. And I believe that when we have that focus, when we begin to view our estate plan in that focus as well, which goes back to point number one, which is seek after the heart and the vision of God. What has he told you? And, you know, a believer who walks into my office and can look me in the eyes and say, I've sought after the heart of God. And he has said to leave things to my children at this time. Hey, that's between you and God. Then I don't believe you fall under this parable that I just read, because you've sought after the heart of God, and God's heart may be pinging you towards being more family-centric for reasons that we don't understand. So that's okay. Lean into him and trust him. But it's when our natural heart says, I'm just going to be self-protective. I'm just going to build my own little estate. This is what we do. Then I'm concerned that we may be gravitating towards the warning of what the rich man's parable is all about, which is, are we seeking after and allowing the heart of God to touch our heart and we begin to move our finances after the heart of God? You know, that's really what finances are to be used for. As a matter of fact, I talked about stewardship at the beginning, administrative giver. There's no way that the rich ruler here that had a giving heart. Rather, everything was about building my barn, storing it for myself. Now I can stop. Now I can lay my feet up. Now I don't have to labor and work to enter into the rest of God and to seek after him and to be called according to his purposes any longer. I can put my feet up and it's all about what feels good to me. And that's our warning, even with estate planning. Your vision is to be greater than yourselves, greater than your family's needs. We trust God to give us a strong biblical vision to build his kingdom with what he's put into our hands. I believe that that is a beautiful balance of where we are supposed to be. We take care of fulfilling the vision of God, and we do it in a strong legal earthly way to ensure that it will last and accomplish the purposes that God has dropped there. And that's an important balance between these two things.
Yeah, and you've always pointed out, too, on your programs that so many people don't even have a will.
Correct.
And that's where this, to me, that's like the rich fool. And even a lot of people who have a lot of means and have made a lot of money in life die without a will.
Yes.
And that seems to kind of flesh out what you mean by the rich fool.
Yes, and that as well. The wise woman, Proverbs 14 says, the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish tear it down. And so when we lean upon our own selves, when we don't actually take steps to use wisdom and build the vision that God has given us well, then we're in trouble. Mm. And so, yeah, the stats that you're referring to is over 50% of Americans still have done no estate planning whatsoever, just none. And so if that is true, then we will simply default to what the law has. So look, you're using the law one way or the other. Whether you intentionally use it or whether you default to it, you are going to use this earthly system's laws in order to pass your wealth. So why not utilize the laws to have your intent and your purposes set up for long-term kingdom purposes? And so we can have a strong balance. We can focus things that are spiritually minded and build a strong legacy spiritually and use the law to our advantage. And that's always what I'm encouraging. Let's use the law as it's designed to ensure that your vision is accomplished even after you are gone, because I believe that is the continuation of legacy. Seek after the heart of God. He will tell you in which direction to go.
Building a legacy that matters, the focus the last few shows with Paul Grant on the Legacy and Faith Show. Paul has many resources to help you if you're trying to plan your estate. People need help. How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com, past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, and email. So send me an email. Tell me how you're doing and how I can help and make this show better for you. Legacyandfaith.com.
Legacyandfaith.com. Always great stuff. The Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.